Brooklyn.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Today, apparently, is the first episode of our fourth season of, and maybe not our fourth season of Radio Free Brooklyn. It's the fourth season for What Would Save the World. I think it's the sixth season of Radio Free Brooklyn. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm here. I'm your favorite anarchist radio host, but without hierarchy, so I couldn't possibly be your favorite. But today, we're going to be talking with Rich and George about how we're going to expose the phonies in activism and how we are going to actually provide each other with mutual support and aid, because apparently activists like to talk about it a lot and like to read a lot of shit, but don't really like to do any of it. We like to fucking praise Emma Goldman, even though Emma Goldman's boyfriend Alex Bergman fucked a fucking 14-year-old. This is something I discovered recently, and I want everybody to be aware of this, that your idols suck. So stop having idols. But anyway, so yeah, basically Alexander Berkman, who you guys like to worship, was a hashtag Me Too also, or at least Becky Edelson. None of you know who she is because hashtag Me Too. All right, so we're gonna talk about some prison justice stuff today. We'll be talking about Michael Kimball. You've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Here's Two Good Men by Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie.
Say there, did you hear the news? Psycho worked at trimming shoes. Van Zetti was a peddling man, pushed his fish cart with his hand. Two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Psycho and Van Zetti are gone. They left me here to sing this song. Psycho's born across the sea, somewhere over in Italy. Vanzetti born, appearance fine, drank the best Italian wine. Psycho sailed to sea one day, landed up in the Boston Bay. Vanzetti sailed the ocean blue and landed up in Boston too. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song. Psycho's wife, three children had. Psycho was a family man. Vanzetti was a dreaming man. His book was always in his hands. Psycho earned his bread and butter being the factory's best shoe cutter. Vanzetti spoke both day and night, told the workers how to fight. Two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song. I'll tell you if you ask me about this payroll robbery. Two clerks is killed by the shoe factory on the street in South Braintree. Judge there told his friends around that he had cut the radicals down. Anarchist bastard was the name Judge Thayer called these two good men. I'll tell you the prosecutor's name, Katzman, Adams, Williams, Kane. The judge and lawyer strutted down, they done more tricks than circus clowns. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song. Vanzetti doctor 19-8 slept along the dirty street. Told the workers organizing on the electric chair he dies. All you people ought to be like me and work like Psycho and Vanzetti and every day find ways to fight on the union side for the workers' rights. Well, I ain't got time to tell this tale. The Dixon Bulls are on my trail. But I'll remember these two good men that died to show me how to live. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song. All you people in Swasso's Lane, sing this song and sing it plain. All you folks that's coming along, jump in with me and sing this song. It's two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song.
Man, so like, oh wait, no, that's for later. Okay, do you guys think, okay, so to all the people out there in the world listening to What Would Save the World right now, wait, do you guys hear me in your headphones?
Yes.
All right, we're on a live show. So like, Woody Guthrie is like a white liberal. Like, isn't he, like, he's talking about, what was he talking about that made me go, he likes the state? What did he say? He said something like really state-like. I don't know.
We were talking about the unions.
He's talking about the union. He's like, unions and the workers' rights. Like, I'm down with unions and the workers' rights. Like, you know, the way I feel about a lot of anarchists is a lot of anarchists, like, want to, like, talk all theory and they don't want to actually do anything. So, like, it's like, I'm down with liberation in a sense that, like, but it's also, like, that also makes you sort of, like, in an abusive relationship with the state. Do you know what I mean? So it's this whole complicated thing. But Woody Guthrie was a fucking white liberal, and he, like, probably, like, hung out with the anarchist to fuck some, like, hot anarchist chicks. You know, that's how that goes. Anyway, let's get to the point of this episode before I start.
We'll have to research that.
Yeah, we have to research Woody Guthrie's sex life.
Yep.
But basically, later on, you'll be hearing from the most professional Woody Guthrie impersonator of all time, also known as Robert Zimmerman, also known as Bob Dylan.
A special song he's going to sing.
We have a special song. Robert Zimmerman will be visiting me in the studio because, as you know, all the good Jews are anarchists. The rest of us are Zionist people. Anyway, so let's discuss, why are you two here today? What are we talking about today? We're here with Rich and George.
I like to call myself Richie Anarchist. My parents' given name is Richard Deegan, Irish and German. Okay. And I'm here because I met you at Union Square. You remembered the speak outs we used to do.
Oh, yeah. And like circa 2000, me, yeah, like, you asked 10, us like pre-occupy. I was like,
if we still do it. And I said, no, but the people are around, like me, that co-started are still around. And I didn't sell out like everybody in my group.
Did everybody sell out? What happened?
One had a kid and is now, like, just does what his wife says and wants to be safe and doesn't want to make anybody angry.
Blame it on the women.
I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying I knew him when he was, like, more militant.
I know, I'm giving you a hard time.
I know. He wants, like, not anger anybody in his family, and they're all, like, liberals.
But the state is our God.
That's right.
If you just, the state is working, it's better to fix it from inside the system.
That's right. That's what sellouts
say. So George, I haven't heard, so what's up with you? How did you link up with Rich? Because I know I met Rich like in 2009 or 2010 when he was doing, basically, people, if you don't know what I'm talking about, in Union Square.
Explained it to people.
Back when Union Square
was different.
Was like, you know, a little, still had
some
like
life.
Semblance of like the history of what it was, which is, you know, where like people like Emma Goldman spoke, even though she's a fucking Wendy, you know, she's one of those women who was in the boys club who never really let other women in or always picked a fight with every other woman while like agreeing and kissing at the toes of the men. You know, she was an apologist, honestly. But anyway,
it seems like it.
She was a huge apologist. Her, yeah. I mean, but either way, let's not take all of her credit from her. She was a very passionate activist and whatever. And so what I'm saying is Union Square used to be a meeting space for a lot of workers. So back before Union Square became the shopping mall that it is, I mean, it was a shopping mall back then, but there was still a little bit of like,
there was some life back then.
Yeah. And if you have any time, I recommend going to Normal Bob Smith's website, Amazing Strangers, where he would film all the ridiculousness of Union Square. It was like a reality show of Union Square. It's a little exploitive, but he also really loved those people. So I don't think it was that fucked up. But anyway, Public Speak Out is where I met Rich. There's people used to give speeches, and I would just sit there and be like, I'm really high, and all I can think about is like acid philosophical patterns. And eventually, that came into abstract reality. So yeah, that's where I know Rich. How did you run into Rich, George?
Well, I met Rich at
Wait, what's up? Why is I have mic four on. Okay, go.
All right. So I met Rich when back in New Year's, actually.
Around
New Year's, when we were working with Refuse Fascism.
The cult.
Yeah, the cult.
Oh, yeah, you guys were working with... Okay, so if anybody ever gets into Refuse Fascism...
It's the RCP.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. That's Revolutionary Communist Party. They are a cult. That is the Baba Vakian shit.
Yeah, don't do it unless you like Baba Vakian, like cults, and like...
Even if you like them, don't do it.
Yeah, you don't do it at all. Plus, they control your reproduction rights, so obviously you don't want
to. Do they actually... Okay, tell me about this. I've heard they're a cult a bunch of times, and I believe it just because my friends... But like, please tell me about this reproduction shit. Please tell me.
All right. So usually there's a lot of, they have internships in their Revolution Books, which is where they sell all Bob Vakin's books. And like, that's like literally, they have other books, but that's all they push. If you're at the cashier with, let's say, an Emma Goldman book, they will push Bob Vakin's new book and say, you should buy this. It's much better.
Even if you have a Lucy Parsons book.
Yeah, it's true. Well, anyway, so...
And don't they prey on, like, young radicals who, like, aren't super, like, clear on what they're, like,
yeah,
what they think?
They're, like, political predators.
Exactly.
Exposing the fucking phonies and activism, yep. Bitches. Bitch means babe in total control of herself.
Well, yeah, so they control your productions through the means of... There was actually... I heard this rumor. I'm not sure if it's true, but I heard it from one of the people who's associated with them, and, like, any old... Communist Party, they're like an old pipe. There's a leak everywhere. Anyway, so she told me that there was these two girls. One was, they were twins, and they both volunteered at Revolution Books. And one of them actually fell in love with the leadership of Revolution Club, which is their youth type of organization for the RCP. But the issue was, one of the twins, she fell in love with the leader, but she wasn't down for Baba Vakian. So what they did, the head leadership said, you guys have to break it up. You can't be together anymore.
Because she didn't want to worship Baba Vakian?
Oh, exactly.
They tried. Okay. So for young activists, that's a cult. That's like textbook level of a cult.
That's
tells
grade
you that
A.
You can't sleep with and what you can do. It's the only time I've ever tried to break up somebody is if I feel like they're being abused. So what that means is I'm going to try to break people up from RCP. They come to like everything and like try to hijack everything.
Yes, they
like
do.
It's really fucking weird. Like this happened twice now where I've been like, what's going on? Like they came to the, you know, Michael Chernovich.
Yes. I think of Columbia University.
Yeah. So yeah. I was at that and, you know, I was there and like fucking Refuse Fascism is there. Well, like the students who, you know, I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about groups like Antifa is that they tend to, they're like water in a container in the sense that they tend to fit into whatever situation is going on. Like Antifa does not just go around and smash windows. Do you know what I mean? There's like, yeah, depends on which situation. Like, for example, you can see very clearly from Charlottesville, and the media is never going to point this out to you. They were literally there to protect the people of Charlottesville from fucking white supremacists, fascists, whatever, right. Whatever. So what I'm saying is like that... So there, you know, Antifa wasn't doing anything dangerous. Everybody was there to support the student body who is concerned with queer people and people of color who are afraid of the fact that now white supremacists are going to be wandering their, and probably anti-gay people or whatever, are going to be wandering their campus. So that's what their open campus. So they're nervous about that and fucking refuse. And they're doing all these speeches. They're like, would any people of color specifically like to speak? And these fucking Refuse Fascism guys are just like, no, let everybody speak because this affects everybody and da 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 da. I'm like, look, like while I agree with you that it does affect everybody and there's more perspectives than that, like this is their student body. Like let them have their space here. Like I don't understand like why you have to make it about your stuff. Like you always have to make it about your stuff, Refuse Fascism. And I've seen them hijack entire marches.
And what gets you angry is they'll get in the cunt's face when it's not their demo.
Oh, yeah.
And then when shit hits the fan, they run away. And then you're left there getting arrested. And then they won't help you.
Oh, my God. I remember.
They do that shit all the time.
They did it in April.
I have no respect for somebody who does that.
Did it in April. I remember they did it in April.
So, tell them.
It was hands off.
You were there.
Yeah, it was hands off Syria where.
That's the one that I was at.
You were the one at the. Oh, you saw.
When they fucking did that shit where I played it on the show. The fucking speech that girl gave where she's like, I'm a revolutionary communist.
Oh, Sansara Taylor. Yeah.
And she, oh, that's her name.
I can't stand her.
Oh,
and
God.
She was like, and then also she listed off every single religion except for Judaism while talking about Hitler. And like, right. That's it. And that's when I'm like, see, that's one of my things. Like, you go far left, you go far right, you're going to hit anti-Semitism. And right. I'm anti-Israel and shit. Or like, I have mixed feelings about certain aspects of that. But overall, I'm an anti-Zionist. And I was like, look, like, you could be anti-Zionist, but don't come at me with that weird, bizarre, like, conspiracy shit. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, but if people don't know what I'm talking about. This is a whole conspiracy that white Jews came from, like, these mountains in, like, Russia and they were not real human beings. Like, this whole fucking crazy thing. Yeah. And, look, I'm like down to admit that the Ethiopian Jews were the original Jews. That just doesn't make me not a Jew. So like, I don't know. I was like, what the fuck? You're going to talk to me about how awful Hitler is and you're going to list every religion but the Jews. And then you're going to try to recruit me to your weird cult. Like you think you're Harvey Milk or something.
Right.
Anyway, we've talked enough shit about RevComs. Don't do it. Don't join it. Don't join any group.
As Nancy Reagan said, just say no.
Yeah, just say no. Just say no, but I recommend CBD oil.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, especially because it has all these unnatural preservatives.
It's not organic.
And not organic. Anyway, so let's move on to Michael Kimball. So
absolutely,
you two have been together working on. So just tell me about Michael Kimball. Let's go.
Absolutely, Michael Kimball is somebody that I wrote to. It's been about a year, I think, and I met him because I wrote to a pamphlet he wrote in, and I was very impressed by his writings. And the pamphlet is What is Prisoner Support? And he wrote an article in it. And I do political prisoner writings for 20 years now. When I write to them, I don't just say, I'm on your side. I write in a detailed letter as a personal letter, like I'm a human being and they are. I give them my information. I give them my phone number, my address, and say, how can we help your defense committee? And I've been doing it more than 20 years. I work with MOVE organization, a lot of the major political prisoners that are still in jail and some that are got out. And so I wrote to him and he wrote me back. And then one day he called me on the phone and no one's ever taken me up on that. So he called me straight from jail and we had a great conversation. I said, when I go to these political prisoner events, they will not talk about anarchist political prisoners. As long as you talk about anything but them, they will let you talk about it. I'll give you an example. I went to, and this is where I'm going to out a phony who's disrespecting Lynn Stewart. I went to Lynn Stewart's husband, Ralph Pointer, and I said, would you help Michael Kimball? He's in Alabama. We don't know anybody in Alabama. Me and George, we're not lawyers. We don't know any lawyers. I hate lawyers.
Some lawyers are pretty rad.
Lynn Stewart and Kunstler, but they're dead now. I don't know any live ones I like right now.
I know some in a law school.
I'll give you an example. Like, we tried to get in touch with Kunstler's daughters. They are lawyers. And we sent them a message about Michael Kimball. We can't find where their office is.
Yeah, they've been on office.
But the website says they have one.
Yeah, not anymore. Not in the same location anymore. And they just disappeared.
But I'm saying they have a number, right, on the website?
Yeah, call. It doesn't work either.
So what's the point of if you can't be in, no way we can contact you?
So what? Can you tell me like what exactly happened with Michael Kimball? Because we're talking about Michael Kimball. Sure. People are like, what?
I'll give you
an anarchist, sure, gay prisoner, right? But tell me more about him.
So what happened with Michael Kimball is he did not start out as an anarchist when he went into prison, just a regular person. He became an anarchist in prison, and he is a follower of George Jackson. And some of the accomplishments is he started his own BLA cell inside the prison.
Oh, wow.
That's inside by himself.
What's BLA?
Black Liberation Army.
Okay, just you remember our audience might not know what the fuck we're talking about. You can say fuck on this.
Okay. They started as an usher to the Black Panther Party when the Black Panther divided between the sellouts.
And the militant.
The militants. And the militants said, we should keep the social programs where we still have to fight. And we do not want to get involved in voting. That's selling out shit.
So what happened to Michael Kimball? Like, why is he
in prison? Michael Kimball, basically, I'll give what I know, and then George knows a lot about the legal part of it. He's been in jail a long time, almost 20 years. He's a vegan. He's a black gay anarchist. And his lawyer did a terrible job. I could have done a better job. Then his lawyer took the appeal and fucked it up again. I could have done a better job. If Lynn Stewart had been alive, cancer-free, I'm sure Lynn would have taken the case. His lawyer was terrible. And his friend, when it happened, what was taken by the government and told to lie against Michael Kimball and lie about what happened. And based on that lie and that testimony, they convicted him, and they didn't listen to anything he said. So he's been in jail a long time, and we said that to Michael, what do you want us to do to get you free? And I felt that I've gone to a lot of these political prisoner dinners and a lot of things, and I'll mention a bunch of other bullshit artists, Parsons Defense Committee. I wrote to them.
That's supposed to be like Lucy Parsons?
No, this is a communist group that has dinners that I used to go to. But we contacted them about Michael Kimball. We've done outreach for Michael Kimball that he needs lawyers. We're not lawyers. We don't know any lawyers. We need lawyers for him. I mean, good lawyers.
Hey, if you're a lawyer and you want to help Michael Kimball, you can email me at tookatradiofreebrooklyn.com.
And basically, he never should have gone to jail because it was a matter of self-defense.
Right. So,
more about it now.
So I'll speak on that. Basically, the night of the question was, he was out with his friend, and this guy came out with racial and homophobic comments against him, and started to attack Michael, and was actually attempting to strangle him. Had his hands around his hands around his neck,
literally
choking him to death. And under Alabama state law, you're allowed to carry a concealed firearm. And Michael, legal resident, had a firearm and used it in self defense. But the detectives on the case saw it as a hate crime against white people.
Right.
They really did.
How shocking, right?
Yeah. And
Alabama?
Yeah, as Alabama would expect.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and they literally had nothing on the case. The DA could not prosecute him because they didn't have enough evidence to go on with the case. What happened was they flipped Michael's friend of that night. They got him on some other charges, and they told him, look, we'll let you walk scot-free if you testify against Michael.
Perjure yourself.
Yes. And
lie.
Yeah. And he did so. He did that
did exactly that.
Yeah. It wasn't until later, a couple years later, where that same friend was actually picked up on other charges and was sent to prison that he recanted everything and said, oh, I was coerced by the detectives. And with that note, literally, Michael has tried to appeal his case, but it's been denied and denied over and over again.
And part of the problem is he does not have enough political support around the country. He said all these bullshit, fake, pro-black groups in the South have done nothing to help him. These bullshit legal groups, ACLU, all these bullshit groups.
They're focusing their time to let Nazis speak.
Yeah, they're worried about Nazis speaking and their rights.
Oh my God. Supremacists don't get to speak.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's not like we already had this debate.
You can't molest 7-year-olds? That's terrible.
Oh my God.
I want to go into one of these speeches with like a giant sign that says like, this is a time machine. Like, I can't even, people are like, we should just debate them. It's like,
we don't want to hurt the KKK's feelings.
It's like, but we've already debated them time and time again. Anyway, back to Michael Kimball.
So what we're saying is, we thank you for letting us talk about him on your show.
Of course.
And Michael Kimball supports, and we'll talk about this before the show's over, the Anarchist Prevention Healing Center.
Yeah, we got to touch on that. We have somebody who's going to be calling in relatively soon to talk about a prisoner, or somebody, not a prisoner, somebody who is facing a lot of legal problems. They are a comrade. They are fighting the good fight right now against the rise of the white supremacists and the Nazis and blah, 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 blah in this country right now. So they're going to call in soon. Should we play some of Michael Kimball's talk in here?
Let's see.
I don't know which one to play. I'm just going to play one of them and hopefully.
He talks about how he saw the guards cheering when they electrocuted somebody before they changed from the electric chair to lethal injection.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to figure out which one is that, though. I got sent.
Do you know which one that was, Jordan?
I think it's the third one, possibly.
Okay. It's very chilling if you can find that one.
Okay, if it's going to work for me. Oh, come on.
You watched the guards cheering when they executed somebody.
Yeah, and when they cleaned out
the chamber.
And they
were black guards.
Yeah. In Alabama. Oh, okay.
In Alabama.
Michael Kimball, 9-3?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Okay, everybody, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here with Rich and George.
It's nighttime, and we walk here, it's all around the shoulders.
That's Michael, yes. Yeah.
And we got to the corner before what? The guy come across the street, he's here. You can tell he's been drinking. he's walking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, put your hands around that fag. So we stopped, turned around, asked who he was talking to. They told me, basically, you know, I came for a baby, it's been so long ago.
Oh, there's a call.
And he just started calling.
Hello?
Hello? Hey, Maddie?
Hi, my name's Tukedalo on here, but hello.
Hi.
I'm good. Everybody, guess you're on What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. What's up, everybody? You guys just all found out my legal name. Woo, woo. No, it's cool. So, welcome to What Would Save the World. We've been talking about a bunch of different prison stuff and like phonies and activism and like weird groups like RevCom. I don't know. What's your name on here? Introduce yourself.
It's M.
M. Okay, so M.
It's M.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to like so you're calling in to talk about somebody who's facing some legal trouble, like somebody who's fighting the good fight right now. Tell me about it.
Sure. So a little bit of background and context. My partner and I are activists, and we are facing a big financial cost from legal support. So we moved to Philadelphia from New York City about a year and a half ago. And we got very involved in local activism in the wake of Trump's election. We actually moved here during the DNC, which took place in Philadelphia, which was a very interesting time to move to Philadelphia.
I bet.
To say the least. We opened up our home to activists in the community as a meeting space and as a crash space also for protesters who were coming in from out of town. And they came from all over Pennsylvania and just the tri-state area in general, especially to march against Trump supporters who did have a rally that was shut down due to efforts from counter-protesters, which was really important, and it was right in the center of the city, so everyone got to see in a big way that, you know, we're not going to tolerate these people coming to Philadelphia, period. And an important thing to know about Philly in general is that we are a blue dot in like a sea of red, especially in this area, in this area of PA, which once you leave Philly, you're surrounded by like very conservative environments. There's even places where you will see Confederate flags. You will see signs like "Make America White Again." This is all stuff you'll see.
That sounds right.
Silly.
I'm so excited for when like we're all mated and shit, and there's no more white people. That'll be the greatest revenge. But anyway, keep going.
So my partner, more so than me, honestly, has been especially involved in efforts to curb alt-right influences in Philly and beyond. And now they are facing legal charges as a result of their work to fight these people. We've been fortunate to get a great attorney recommendation from another community member. And our lawyer has lots of experience with cases specific to resistance activity. And that being said, we really need help with funding for legal support. Other activists have said they're trying to work with us to raise enough money, but everyone is honestly, with the climate right now, everyone's really burnt out. Everyone's really super burnt out. Like, I've seen people have big fundraisers and like punk shows for people before, but I think we're just really at a point where people are like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to help you. And a lot of people don't have, and I get it.
I think people are really burnt out. And I also think we were talking about, I'm here with George and Rich. We've been talking about the Michael Kimball case, who's a black anarchist gay prisoner who's been in prison for years.
Vegan too.
Who has,
that's a point.
And he killed somebody who was harassing him, and it was self-defense.
Self-defense,
and people have forgotten about him. And I just think that part of what happens is, activists just go through like these phases and these like trends. Like nobody fucking talks about Dakota Access Pipeline anymore, although they should. You know what I'm saying? Like people like
they don't talk about Leonard Peltier anymore. Yeah, hardly.
People forget about stuff, and it's fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah. So how can we help your partner? What's going on?
So we have set up a fund, and honestly, you know, if we get to a point where we pay all this stuff off enough, we would like to continue keeping this going for other activists who, because there's so many who are facing legal charges since J20, so many facing charges from Charlottesville.
If you don't know what J20 is,
donate to the.
If you don't know what J20 is, that's the inauguration protest where like 200 people were arrested and were facing like 6 counts of felony. Sorry, just telling the audience.
Thanks. Yeah. So there is a PayPal that you can send donations to, and it is and the linked email for that is justicefundinfo, all one word, @gmail.com.
justicefundinfo@gmail.com. That's the PayPal people can donate to help your partner and to help other
justicefundinfo @gmail.
justicefundinfo. justicefundinfo. You got that, everybody? Everybody, you better be writing that down, because even if you're broke,
fund with a D, not fun like what we
justice,
would like to be having.
Justice isn't fun. All right, so is there anything else you would like to share on this episode of What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, where the question is, how can we reveal the phonies how can we reveal the phonies in activism and provide actual mutual support and mutual aid to one another?
let's see. I think that really general fundraising, legal support is the most important thing people can do right now and learn about and pay attention to. I think that the more people really start to understand how much the state has cracked down on protesters who are simply trying to fight fascism, when people really see that, then hopefully it will incentivize people who weren't necessarily involved in activism before.
Yeah. And also figure out how to use lingo that your average person can fucking understand. Because I feel like a lot of people don't know what I was talking to like somebody on the internet recently, and they were describing to me all these fucking tactics and shit. And I was like, these are brilliant tactics, but I don't understand your fucking lingo. And I study this shit. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm like, how the fuck you expect like, you know, Joe from like wherever to understand what the fuck you're talking about? Like maybe he would agree with you, but you're like, blah, 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 the means of this and the production and the.
Well, that's
and the,
part blah, blah, blah. Of the breakdown of everything.
Explain.
In the 60s and 70s, everybody stuck together because they had to. Now everybody is kind of a regional activist.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, compared to the 60s and 70s, the large, huge demonstrations.
I mean, but yeah, the large then, demonstrations, but what the fuck did they do? You know, like,
Why I'm trying not to repeat what they did later.
Yeah, and that's
I'm not talking about what they did later.
And that's why I'm super irritated with these like passive aggressive white liberals who were just like, oh, like Antifa is a problem and shit. I'm like, all right, but like think about like every movement that like really made an impact or like start like you can't just have like completely peaceful protests. Like I don't believe in like full on like hard like you know offensive. I believe in like defensive violent not violent protests. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, John Africa and George Jackson kind of had ideas about that stuff.
Like, what I'm saying is it's self-fucking-defense on, like, a macro scale is what I think what we're seeing. I'm like, you know, if you look at, like, Stonewall was a fucking riot, and that, like, jump-started the entire, like, gay rights movement. So what I'm saying is it's like...
But they were part of other things, too.
Of course they were part. I am for diversity of tactics.
I'm absolutely. Saying, like... Like now, like when I go to like stuff, some people only go to certain stuff.
All I'm saying is that like in the 60s and 70s, like what the fuck did they do? They all grew up and became fucking yuppies.
That's what I'm saying is don't become like that.
You don't fucking become like that and don't try come at me with your pacifist shit because it didn't fucking work. Anyway, do you have anything else to say, or should we let you go? Sorry, we're rambling off the conversation here.
No, it's fine. I will
piggybacking on this idea of people who care for a fleeting moment and then just stop entirely. And then also just like why things, you know, people are really, I feel like, yeah, people like are really speculating as to like, why can't this be like the 60s and 70s? Like, why is it so hard? And I feel like with social media, the power of suggestive images, because humans like are visual creatures first, right? And the accessibility of language, like having the ability to say anything just right at your fingertips, I feel like that is starting to create this like vacuum of a place where you can throw your ideas out into the ether, and it seems, you know, like worth doing because, you know, it's on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like an easy share.
You're not looking at someone face to face, and there's less, the stakes feel lower than they really actually are, because it's not, none of this is happening right in front of your face until it is. And then, you know, you have something like Charlottesville, where it's really in people's faces.
Well, I was in the Topland Square riots. That was real.
Well, and to go back to what you were saying about people not caring anymore, it's most of what's going on is that white savior complex, or just the savior complex in general, where people believe the Democrats are here to save us, which is not true, because you can't. Voting in a new president is not going to stop fascism. Yeah. It's always been here. It's gonna continue to grow because it grew under our noses, and it will not stop. The only way to stop it is to fundamentally go out into the streets and actually do real militant action in the sense of protesting, denouncing them anywhere they are.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily, when I was saying like rad, when I said like violent, I don't necessarily mean like violent. I want to clarify that. What I just mean is like really do something, like just going out. Like the Women's March was useless to me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
the liberals ran it.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm glad that they had their little parade. Like it did feel good. The energy, it was a feel good thing, but it wasn't effective long term. Although, I will say, the Women's Conference in Detroit was successful. So it has built a movement beyond that. So there are things to it, but I do think like it's not direct action. Like liberals a lot of times do not want to engage in direct action. They don't want to act. And also, I think that...
No, because they see the police as their friends.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a radical liberal. No. That's an oxymoron.
It's like saying, you know, it's ridiculous.
So I think that when it comes to liberals, there are a lot of them who have never really understood that America was never great.
Yeah, for real.
It's really, they're having,
and cops are not workers.
It's going to take them a while to process, because if they've never been in the minority before, if they've never been, say, like, a black person walking into a room that's only full of white people, or a trans person like in a school that is, you know, not understanding what's going on.
Or just
in
fucking general. I'm sorry. Like,
if you've never been in that position, then how, and so on and so forth.
I got a friend.
Can you ever really understand?
I got a friend where people regularly like ask her, they're like, I'm proud of your choice. It's like, oh my God, fuck you.
What?
Like trans women, who like people are like, I'm so
brave.
I'm so your choice. It's like, oh my God, my choice. But I was gonna say, I feel like a lot of like white liberals in America have this like idea that like, you know, Native Americans or indigenous people of this land were killed, and then suddenly everything became perfect. And we were this equal land of opportunity for everyone. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like this like ridiculous thing where like what America used to be, what it was meant to be. I'm like, it was never like that. Like you think like it was literally founded on genocide. Like you are on Lenape territory, people right now. Like you are on a burial ground. But
you want to hear a great quote of what liberals think of anarchists?
Yes.
This is what Theodore Roosevelt said. Anarchist is the enemy of humanity. When compared with the suppression of anarchy, every other question sinks into insignificance. The anarchist is the enemy of humanity, the enemy of all mankind, and he is a deeper degree of criminality than any other. No immigrant is allowed to come to our shores if he is an anarchist. And no paper published here or abroad should be permitted circulation in this country if it is propagates anarchist opinions. President Theodore Roosevelt,
and this
April 9th, 1908. So that's what liberals really think of you.
And liberals love us. Look at that quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't that tell you how much they like you?
And also something that makes me think about a lot is how the state and the big business corporations, whatever, are abusive entities, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, if you smash like a window, or if you do something that's I don't think, again, like, but what I meant when I said violent is do something. You can do something that is against the law. You can't just follow the law to protest.
We
the
still
law.
Have slavery.
Yeah.
You think you can't follow the law protesting a law? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
That's insane.
You don't have to go out and bash the window. You don't have to fucking hurt anybody. Right. Like, I don't necessarily think all those things are all that effective. But what I'm saying is dissent. Dissent, and I lost my fucking train of thought because I got so fucking angry. Okay,
I like your passion.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, I remember. It's like if I was being abused by a guy, right, one-on-one. Like, people are only okay with self-defense at a macro level if it's like a woman to like an abusive guy. Like, I thought of that before, or like sometimes not at all. Sometimes not. But I'm saying, like, if I was dating an abusive guy and I beat him up, people would be like, "You go, girl." But like, if I'm being abused by the state and like I bash a window or I like do some fucked up
that's
shit.
That's not okay.
That's not okay. Okay. Oh my God. What?
Put him in a psych
what?
Ward.
You're violent. You're violent.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what? Like, but it's like, but
give,
no,
him, give him
but
medicine.
It's like, but nobody was listening to me when I was just marching peacefully or not blocked. Like, that's the thing. Like, oh, they blocked roads. They blocked roads. Like, what the fuck?
So you can't go to the mall for an hour.
Yeah, it's like the flag thing right now. Taking a knee is considered awful.
Radical.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and that's like so basic. I don't know.
Well, Tuke, I also feel like, and this is coming from, we've been around a lot of leftists and radical leftists and communists and the
and these fucking Stalin apologists.
And everyone,
I hate
there
that
are
shit.
So many people, when it comes to light, when you see these kinds of like violent protests, it really you really start to see who's in it to actually destroy neo-Nazis. And who's in it for attention? Because there are definitely a lot of people who get involved in these kinds of things because they want to look cool, because they want attention, and
or they want to like express their toxic masculinity, where they want to yell at everybody all the time, and they don't just want to like actually be effective. Like, it's weird. I don't know. I was just in this thing once.
There's a lot of that.
Where these MAGA guys at a May Day protest. These MAGA guys were doing like a counter protest. And I talked to this Antifa dude and I didn't really know him. And I was like, let's just go over there and stand next to them and not talk to them at all and just wave our flags next to them. It'll be so funny. And we go over there and I'm like, just ignore them. And he's like, what'd you say to me, Nazi? And like, he was like in it for the fight. Do you know what I mean? It didn't feel like he was actually there to like, make them look stupid.
Me and George are talking about these anarchists going to Fox News and all these bullshit shows
and
making fools of what anarchy really is.
Oh God!
Tell them about
that
idiots.
That one fool who's,
that you saw.
Yeah, he went on and he's like, "I voted for Hillary Clinton, and I liked it, and it was stolen from Bernie Sanders, and I'll vote Democrat again." And he called himself an anarchist. I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, this is what gives real anarchists a bad name.
Yeah.
Well, I hate that too. I'm a real anarchist, actually. Okay, but Em, do you got anything else to say? Because we got to talk about.
No, that's
one
about
more
it.
Thing. All right, so how can we people get to your partners to GoFundMe or fund? But just tell me the fund situation.
Sorry, what was that?
How can people donate?
Through PayPal.
Okay,
through the PayPal through the linked email that I gave you. It's justicefundinfo@gmail.com.
justicefundinfo@gmail.com. All right, you get on. That's going to go to her partner who's been affected by the legal system and other people who will be helped in the future who are engaging in radical protest or direct action. Or maybe they're just simply blocking streets. All right. Have a good one, Em. Thanks for calling.
Anybody who's not a liberal.
All right. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. All right, so again, I am not advocating for violent protest. I am advocating for radical self-defense, macro self-defense. All right. Anyway, so we have about 15 minutes left. So I want to thank you both for being here. I want to continue. I want to hear about your healing center idea.
Absolutely. The idea came from the best traditions of healing that have been destroyed by the AMA, the pharmaceutical companies, the regular media.
Oh my God. Michael Kimball called my number. You had him call me? Wait, Michael Kimball just texted me.
What was he saying?
He said, this is Michael Kimball on... Okay, okay.
I gave him your number in the letter.
Wait, what? No. Okay, just keep telling me about the Healing Center. I'm going to see if I can get him to call it. Keep talking about it.
Absolutely. The Healing Center was the idea came to my head because I was abused as a kid because I did not want to fall into that homophobia, Christian, right-wing, have a, you know, 2.2 kids and picket fence in Long Island because I grew up with very white conservative parents and I went through extreme abuse. My brother was a Vietnam vet who volunteered to go to Vietnam, was brainwashed to go and came back a hippie. And I was thinking about if people like that had a place to go. My parents are very abusive, physically, violently, and my brother had to run away from home. And I was homeless because of very violent abuse. And I thought about all the great heroes and I was like, well, where is Michael Kimball going to go if we get him out? He has no money. His family has passed away. His mom and dad have passed away. He's not really in touch, I think, with any family that's left. I don't think he has any funds saved. Where would he go if he got out? And he said he would like the idea of the Healing Center, and we agreed on that. So part of the thing is, some prisoners, when they get out, they have family, they have supporters, they have money. They just go right back to their regular life that they were doing. If Dr. Shakur was out tomorrow, he could go back to his family and his profession. Me and Michael don't have a profession to go back to survive. So I said we should support this idea of a healing center. And it's based on the idea of the modern day school movement, the schools the anarchists started, Dr. Shakur, Lincoln Hospital, and the Native healers. Because I went to Colorado, the West Coast, and I did a sweat lodge with an AIM traditional healer. And I can only last like 2 seconds. It was amazing. I'm like, if you can go through that, you are really healed. Because when people come out, they still have traumas from the sadistic guards. I mean, Herman Bell was just attacked in New York State by racist prison guards. They broke his ribs. So this is the terror. There's been stabbings in Michael's prisons by gangs that are promoted by the guards. And then the drugs they put into the prisons and the psychiatric drugs they try and put the prisoners on, they did not come out well. They didn't go in well. Then you have the medical murder of these prisons they have to heal from. And unless you have a super support group like MOVE does, Mamiya Abu Jamal does, you're going to be as much trouble as when you went in and be broke. When you come out of prison, they don't give you any money. How much do they give you Michael comes out of prison tomorrow, what do they give him?
$200.
That's it.
And
nothing else.
It was $200.
Exactly.
You can't even like get a
room. So you have $200 and you're broke and you're staying in Alabama with no family left. You don't have money saved. What do you even do?
Exactly.
If we had this healing center funded right now, Michael would have a place to go to. If this had been around when George had to run away from a sadistic father, we used to beat him because my father was a right-wing nutcase and violent. My mother was demented. I don't know if you have time, but George wrote a story and wanted to get published and make it a play.
How long is it?
It's in my bag. He wrote what happened in Vietnam and what he was like and why he had to run away. He called his parents psychotic partners in what he was going through. He had to leave home because it was so violent. And I was like, the psychiatric industry preys on people like that. They put them on these meds. They have these psych wards, which are terrible. They tried to put me in that. My brother had a flashback in Vietnam and I had to go to the Bellevue ward psychiatric unit. And I taught them and I said, you know, what happened in Vietnam? And he explained, he got a medal, Purple Heart, in Apocalypse Now's boats. It got blown up and he saw some horrible crap that no human being should see. I mean, like bodies blown apart. And he saved somebody on the boat and he had nightmares. And I had to learn about that. And I'm like, one of the people told me, like, when he goes to visit a political prisoner, the family notices the prisoner doesn't want to touch them anymore. the less hugging, the less, you know, warmth, and the family noticed that. It's one of the black BLA political prisons, and I'm like, they want that to happen. Prisons were started by penitentiary means, was started by the God people. You do penance to God. This all started with asylums, schools, and I said, we need a place for people that does not exist right now. I live in my uncle's house. It's only temporary in Rockville Center. He's almost 90. We need to fund these places, and George could talk about. Right. We started a website for this and more about, you know, what we're talking about.
Right. So basically what is needed is an actual building within, I would say, this within New York City, where a lot of these young activists, old activists have dedicated their lives to the movement. And what happens if...
You don't have to be an anarchist to go.
Yeah, you don't have to be. You can be anybody.
Anybody.
Just don't be a liberal.
Yeah, but, no liberals and no fanatic.
Yeah.
Fundamentalist God.
Well, no fucking fanatics. Like religious conservatives either.
Yeah, please. No.
I mean, but I will say, I want to say one good thing about liberals, though. I will.
There's one good thing about them?
Some of them can be converted. Some of them. Not converted.
Can
but
you
some
find
of,
one?
I have met them. I mean, I'm saying the person, person we were just talking to, I'm like shocked they're even political now.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is like, the thing about liberals is that they're like, in my opinion, correct socially. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, or at least they're trying. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know who the fuck you talk to, but I think
there's a lot of liberals in the political prison movement.
I'm sure I can't stand them either. I wouldn't stand them either. But what I'm saying is, on hold, they're like, they're part of the problem, but they also like, they're not these fucking people who like, they're not down with the white supremacists. They just support them because they're not fucking like, they don't get it. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with them. Like, they're like, because
they wave American flags, they still believe America is this fair place.
Yeah, they're fucking...
They believe in that myth.
They're fucking brainwashed. I don't know, right. Whatever. It's their choice.
I had somebody from Clearwater tell me their best friend is a prison guard and they thought he was a great guy.
Ugh.
This is somebody from Clearwater.
Or no, when she said that, when we told her to... We invited her to speak with Michael Kimball because he calls us. And she says, oh, I can't. I'm canoeing.
She's going canoeing.
Yeah, I'm going
canoeing.
Can't
bother.
After we told, he's a political prisoner. Yeah. He's been through this and she didn't want to speak to him.
But, you know, Pete Seeger did concerts for Leonard Peltier. So they pimped his name to get money.
Yeah.
That's the liberals I deal with. They're scumbags.
Well, I think that is one thing, like, to have a fundraiser if the money's actually going to them.
No, but I'm saying she said my best buddy is a prison guard.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about her.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the person you just said, Pete Seeger.
But the problem is his family's not doing anything for Leonard Peltier anymore. As soon as he got denied parole before Trump got in, I've gone to one event for Leonard Peltier. Pete Seeger's family hasn't, I've heard anything from them about Leonard Peltier.
Wow. Right.
That's just facts. And I write to Leonard Peltier all the time and I update prisons about what's going on out here. So go ahead.
All right. Yo, so going back to what's needed for this healing centers, one is the funding. That's the thing that's greatly, greatly needed. And you can
immediately.
Yeah. If you want to know more information about the Holistic and Prevention Healing Center, you can always go on our Facebook page. It's just Holistic and Prevention Healing Center. Also, you could go to our GoFundMe page where we're trying to raise funds to get these healing centers started. It's going to really involve a lot of people because we don't want this to be funded by the state or
we're not
through
taking
non
money
for
from
profits.
The state.
Exactly.
And we're not doing a non for profit scam.
Exactly. You know, because a lot of these things, we just want real healing for without Western style medicine that's proven to be toxic now. Everyone's overusing antibiotics.
Like chemotherapy to help kill Lynn Stewart.
Exactly. But you could always help, and you could always, if you want to know more information, you could always call in. And
you can call us, or you can use my P.O. box. You can write
right.
to us if you're a Luddite like me. My P.O. box is 1581 New York City, New York.
10276.
10276. My phone number is 347-989-7507. And I hope maybe you can get Michael Kimball up before the show's over somehow.
Right.
I'm sorry you missed his phone call.
Yeah, so we missed Michael Kimball's phone call, but I don't really know how to get him on here right now.
Can you read what he said on the text for 2 seconds?
You know, he just said it's Michael Kimball from Alabama, and then he didn't say anything else. Okay, so what I'm going to try to do is if I can get my fucking shit to work right now, we have another show coming in really soon. We have Brooklyn Bandstand coming on with Tom Tenney. and I'm trying to get a song playing on here, but my internet is not working, and I can't get into Spotify right now because my life loves me right now. But what the fuck, yo? Why? Okay, you know what? You know everybody listening to this right now. Do you understand how hard it is sometimes just to get technology to work? What would save the world is if somebody could just stand behind
me. That's why I hang out my treehouse.
At all times and just tell me how to use technology. So why don't you guys just say a last couple, some last words about the show, about Michael Kimball, about the question for today. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuk Edelo. If you ever want to come on the show, you can just call in. I mean, you can just email me at Tuk, T-O-O-K, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. And yeah, do that. You guys, talk about, talk amongst yourselves.
So, for Michael Kimball, you could always email us at freemichaelkimball@gmail.com. There's also a Facebook page, same name, Free Michael Kimball. That way you could get in contact with us, see if you want to help. And if you want to help us raise funds for his defense, which is greatly needed, as well as the Holistic Prevention Healing Center, we're more than happy to explain to you all. You can always go on our Facebook page or email us at our email is anarchisthealcenter@gmail.com or call in. Our number is 1-718-737-9509. And just to reiterate, Rich's P.O. Box, if you want to donate.
P.O. Box 1581, New York City, New York 10276. My phone number is 347-989-7507. And I'm willing to talk to anybody to get this thing started. It's needed. Nothing like this exists. And we don't have anything out there right now to do this because Michael, when we get him out, we're determined to get all these people out, but especially the anarchists because they're being ignored, he needs a place to go. When he leaves the prison, all he has is a street and $200. That's not good. That's not what we should have. And our last thing is remember, please, December 9th, there's a MOVE demonstration from Amia. On Saturday, we're going to, me and George, I'm going to try and get more information about Michael Kimball there. And go to Michael Kimball's website. His writings are incredible. I'm sorry we missed his phone call. He has this number. Maybe next time, if we're welcomed back or we come back, maybe Michael can call in live.
That would be amazing. I would love to have you both back on this show. This has been really great.
I want to thank you for inviting me, and I'm glad to speak out loud to this.
Yeah,
I want to thank you so much for being here. I feel like there's not enough talk about how we can actually help each other in our communities, in our activist communities. I feel like a lot of people get forgotten, like in the vacuum, as Em was talking about, and also like
Lucy Parsons.
Yeah, people want it to be like a little trendy and like isn't that funny that like the most famous like female anarchist is like the most apologist one. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I got some love for Emma Goldman, but like it's a little ridiculous. But I also want to say
I want to shout out to Lynn Stewart, our sister who passed away this year.
Oh,
the great Lynn Stewart.
Lynn Stewart, rest in power.
The great lawyer, people's lawyer.
People's lawyer.
Right here from Brooklyn, Lynn Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Right here from
Brooklyn. You don't know who Lynn Stewart is, find out who she is.
Who is she? Tell us. Well, we got like 1 minute left.
She was a great lawyer who did a lot of free work for everybody who was a political prisoner in the 60s and 70s.
And
she passed away this year of cancer.
That's very, very upsetting. I think I've heard of her actually, now that I'm thinking.
You should. Everybody should know who she is.
I want to say thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuk Edelo. I've been here with Rich and George. Give us the thing one more time. How can they support your healing center?
Go to our Facebook page, Holistic and Prevention Healing Center. Go to our GoFundMe page, Anarchist Heal Center. Or also email us at anarchisthealcenter@gmail.com.
And our number and our P.O. box.
Yeah.
You mentioned.
And look into... look into Michael Kimball because you should know
he
about
him. He
has
a website, yep.
And also, what was that? JusticeFundInfo@gmail.com. Donate to that PayPal if you want to help other people who are facing legal stuff